Friends by Mail. Fun Cleaning the Church. I read Dylan's Saturday Surprise in the June 2012 issue of The Friend. It made me excited to clean the church. Last Saturday was my family's turn to clean. I went to bed early on my own the night before and woke up before my daddy on Saturday because I was so excited to clean. I had a good day cleaning with my daddy at the church. It was fun. Gracie F., age 6, Texas, USA.
An unexpected example. I'm 12 years old, and I just read The April 2013 Friend. The story I read is an unexpected test. I really like how the girl chose the right and obeyed the commandments. Lewis R., age 12, Arizona, USA.
My favorite friend. I love to read books. My favorite book is The Friend. I enjoy reading the stories and finding the CTR ring. I spend most of my time reading The Friend. I learn more from it every day. I'm thankful for The Friend and glad we have it. Brooke P., age 8, Arizona, USA.
How I read The Friend. During Christmas time, I love reading The Friend under the lights of the Christmas tree before bed with my mom and dad. It really helps me feel the true spirit of Christmas. Parker P., age 5, California, USA.
Dear friends, planning this month's friend was like packing a surprise package just for you. Inside you'll find a song to sing, a recipe to make, a program to put on, and an advent calendar to help you count the days till Christmas. On pages 34 and 35, you'll find a story about what Jesus did when he was a child. We hope this month's friend will help you think about the Savior Jesus Christ and celebrate his birth. Merry Christmas, The Friend. Was there a letter or a story in this month's issue that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 48 to find out how. End of the section, Friends by Mail.
From the First Presidency, Christmas is About Christ, by President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, second counselor in the First Presidency. What a wonderful, joyous time of the year. Christmas is about Christ. Of course, we do not need a Christmas holiday or Christmas traditions to remember Jesus Christ, our Savior, but the celebrations of Christmas can help remind us of Him. It is usually something small. We read a verse of Scripture, we hear a sacred carol, and really listen to its words, or we watch people doing sincere acts of love. Christmas reminds us that we, like the wise men of old, should seek Christ and lay before Him the most precious of gifts. We should offer Him our love. We should promise to remember Him always, to emulate His example, and to go about doing good. Emulate means to follow. What are the Savior's gifts to those who are willing to bring these gifts to Him? Immortality, living forever after we are resurrected, forgiveness, and eternal life, being like Heavenly Father and living in His presence with our families, the greatest gift of all. He also promises to be with us, to come to us when we need comfort, to mourn and rejoice with us. Dear friends, may we always remember to bring gifts to Him who has given His all for us. May we always remember and be grateful that in the birth of that child, the universe rejoiced. And may each Christmas season remind us to lift up our voices and fill our hearts with joy and gratitude that Christ the King has come. Christ lives. He is real. He is our Redeemer at Christmas and always. Adapted from the December 2011 First Presidency Christmas Devotional Address. Gifts of Service. President Uchtdorf says we can give the Savior gifts by serving others. Note, you may need some assistance with this activity. Fill a jar with slips of paper with ideas like make the bed for somebody in my family, do an extra chore without being asked, or smile at 10 people today. Each morning, close your eyes and pull out your service idea for the day. Ways to remember Christmas. President Uchtdorf shared three ways to remember Christ during Christmas. Number one, read the Scriptures. Two, listen to sacred Christmas carols. Three, Watch people doing sincere acts of love. What can you do to remember Christ? End of the article from the First Presidency, Christmas is About Christ, by President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, second counselor in the First Presidency.
Waiting for Jesus, by Matthew D. Flitton, Church Magazines, based on a true story. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. Katie rummaged through the storage box, carefully looking through the crumpled packing paper. She still couldn't find what she was looking for. She put everything back in the box and went to find Mom. Katie had looked behind the piano, under the couch, even in Thomas's crib. It was lost. She had to tell Mom. "Mommy, the baby Jesus is lost!" Katie led Mom to the nativity set in the living room. Joseph and Mary and the shepherds were there. The wise men, even a camel and a donkey, were there. All of the figures were gathered around the empty manger. "It looks that way, doesn't it?" Mom said. "I can't find him anywhere. I looked and looked." The nativity would be ruined without the baby Jesus. Mom went to the bookshelf. "He isn't lost," she said as she reached up and took something from the top shelf. Katie sighed in relief. "There he is," she said. "I'll go put him in the manger." She reached for the figurine, but Mom put it back on the shelf. "This year we're going to put the baby Jesus in the manger on Christmas morning," Mom said. "It's a tradition Dad learned in France." "But everyone looks so sad," Katie said. "I don't think they're sad," Mom said. "To me, it looks more like they're waiting." Katie looked at the figures. She could see the place in the manger where baby Jesus belonged. Some of the figurines were reaching out to the empty spot. "I guess so," Katie said. "Remember before Thomas was born how excited you were for him to come?" Mom asked. Katie smiled at her baby brother, who was playing on a blanket. "It felt like forever," she said. "Did you know that prophets waited for thousands of years for Jesus to come and help us return to live with Heavenly Father?" Mom asked. Katie remembered seeing a picture in primary of a prophet writing about the Savior's birth. "I think so," she said. "Prophets like Isaiah thought about and wrote about what the Savior would do when he came," Mom said. "They spent their whole lives waiting for him to be born. That's one of the reasons we set up the Nativity like this, to remind us that many people waited a long time for the Savior to come." "I would get tired of waiting my whole life," Katie said, looking at the shepherds who were waiting for Jesus. "But there's also another reason we do this," Mom said. "What? Do you remember in family home evening when we talked about the second coming?" Katie thought for a minute. "Isn't that when Jesus comes again?" "That's right," Mom said. "When will that happen?" Katie asked. "Well, we don't know, but we're waiting for Jesus to come, just like the shepherds in the Nativity and just like the ancient prophets. That's the other reason we're waiting until Christmas to put the baby Jesus in the Nativity, to remind us that we're waiting for Jesus too." "Will he come to a manger again?" Katie asked. "No, he won't be a baby again. The next time Jesus comes, he'll be resurrected. But the empty manger in the Nativity reminds us that just like you're waiting for Christmas morning, and just like people waited for Jesus to come to earth, now we're waiting for him to come back. We didn't lose the baby Jesus. This is part of the way our family plans to remember him. We just need to wait," Katie said with a smile. "That's right," Mom said. "Okay," Katie said. "But while we're waiting, can we make some sugar cookies?"
Sidebar. We declare that he will come again to earth, this time in might, majesty, and glory, to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles.
End of the story, Waiting for Jesus, by Matthew D. Flitton.
Make your own manger. Make this manger to help you remember Jesus this Christmas season. Be sure to ask an adult for help. What you need: scissors, glue, cardstock or heavy paper, lunch-size brown paper bag, old newspaper, yellow construction paper. 1. Cut out the star and baby Jesus. Glue them to heavy paper. You can print more copies at lds.org/friend. 2. Cut about 3 inches off the top of the paper bag. Round the corners and draw a window shape on each side. 3. Open the bag and carefully cut out the windows. Cut the sides out of the bag, down to about the bottom of the windows. 4. Fill the bottom of the bag with small pieces of crumpled newspaper. Put the baby Jesus into the middle. 5. Cut the yellow paper into little strips for hay. Crumple them a bit and put them on top of the newspaper. 6. Glue the top of the bag together and glue the star in place. End of Make Your Own Manger.
Bright Idea Poster. This month's Bright Idea Poster shows a young girl in a tent shining a flashlight on a picture of the Savior with the following caption, "I am the light of the world." John chapter 8, verse 12. End of the Bright Idea Poster.
The Christmas Surprise by Hillary M. Hendricks, based on a true story. There weren't many coins in our Christmas jar. How would we help a family in need? We a gift before thee lay, praise we sing on Christmas Day. Children's Songbook, page 39. Carter opened the back door and felt the wind blow him into the house. Brrr! He reached into his pocket. There it was, the money Sister Campbell had given him for shoveling snow. "Hey, Madison," Carter called to his sister. "Look what I have for the Christmas jar." "Cool," Madison said. She reached on top of the fridge for the jar. Last year, when their jar was full of money, they'd left it on the front porch of a family whose father had lost his job. Madison handed him the jar, and they both frowned at the coins inside. "Where did all the money go?" Carter asked. "There's barely anything in there." "There hasn't been much all year," Madison said. Carter nodded. He knew money was tight for their family this year. "It's almost Christmas," he said. "What are we going to do?" That night, Mom got down the almost empty jar. "Dad and I have been talking about Christmas and how we won't have as many gifts this year," she said. "Well, that's okay," Carter said. "Yeah, we still get presents from our aunts and uncles," said Carter's sister Kennedy. "Well, actually," Dad said, "we've been thinking about a new way to help others who have less than we do. We thought we could ask Aunt Stephanie and Uncle JJ to join us in giving this year," Mom said. "We would use the money we would have spent on gifts for each other's families and buy presents for a family in need instead."
"You mean we won't get anything for Christmas?" Kennedy asked.
"We'll still have some presents," Dad said. "But more important, we'll have the gift of helping someone else." On Saturday, the whole family, aunts, uncles, grandparents, and a few cousins, met to go shopping. "Kennedy and Carter, we'll shop for the little girl. She's 7, Mom said. They walked past the sleds and scooters. Carter tried not to think about how much he would like to open those toys on Christmas morning. Instead, he picked out a pretty doll for the little girl. Back at home, Carter couldn't wait to show Grandma and Grandpa what they had found. "We got some boots and a doll and some pink gloves, too," he said.
"Very nice," Grandma said.
"Never saw you get so excited about shopping before," Grandpa laughed. On Christmas Eve, Carter looked at the small pile of presents under the tree. Then he thought of all the gifts for the little girl wrapped in shiny paper. He imagined her smile when she saw them under her own tree. Just then, Carter heard a knock on the front door. He jumped up to open it. "Hi, Bishop Black," Carter said. "Come in." The bishop stepped into the front room, smiling. He held a bag in his arms. "This is from some people in the ward," the bishop said, handing the sack to Dad. "We all love your family so much,
and we want to wish you a Merry Christmas." "Thank you," said Dad. His eyes were filling with tears, and Mom was crying too. Carter could hardly wait until the bishop was out of the door to ask, "What's in the bag? Can we peek?" "We'll see on Christmas," Mom said. "I'm sure it will be wonderful." "But what's more wonderful," Dad said, "is that other people care about us and want to help." "Like we helped that little girl," Carter said. "Right," Mom said, "because helping each other and remembering how Jesus helps us is what Christmas is all about."
We had a mother and her two daughters move into our ward. Unfortunately, she was not able to bring many clothes or toys for the little girls. My mom gathered together some clothes, and I happily went through my toys and picked out a bunch to give to them. I love to share with others and feel that this is what Jesus would want me to do. Hannah H., age 7, Hawaii, USA.
End of the story. The Christmas Surprise by Hillary M. Hendricks. Read by Kristen Hawkins.
Merry Christmas by David Dixon, Church Magazines. Put on this Christmas program with your family or primary. Make a poster for each letter in Merry Christmas. Write the part for each letter on the back of its poster. Choose a narrator and someone to hold up each poster. If you don't have enough people, everyone can read more than one part. If you'd like, dress up like shepherds, angels, and wise men. Line up in order as you read your parts. Narrator, of all the Christmas wishes you can share this time of year, there's one phrase in particular we'd love to say in here. Those two words, Merry Christmas, put a grin on every face. We thought you'd like to see each letter's meaning in its place. M is for the manger filled with hay so soft and deep, a humble bed where baby Jesus cuddled down to sleep. Song, Away in a Manger, Children's Songbook, pages 42 to 43. E is for excitement that we feel the whole month through. We laugh and play, sing Christmas songs, and smile at people too. R can stand for red, a Christmas color, fun and bright. Combined with green, it makes our decorations look just right. R also means reverent. As we think of Jesus' birth, we remember that our Savior came to live for us on earth. Y is for Yuletide, which means the Christmas season, a magic time of love and kindness. Jesus is the reason. Song, Have a Very Merry Christmas, Children's Songbook, page 51. C is for candles that can fill our homes with light. It also means the Christ child who was born that holy night. H is for the happiness we feel this time of year. Everywhere we go, we try to spread some Christmas cheer. R is for rejoicing, living life with love and joy. Our Savior gave a precious gift to every girl and boy. Song, Joy to the World, hymns number 201. I is for inviting, reaching out to make new friends. Plates of cookies to deliver, Christmas cards to send. S is for the shepherds, watching over flocks with care. They hurried off to Bethlehem to meet the Christ child there. T is for togetherness, seeing family near and far. Long trips to visit relatives by plane or train or car. M is for a miracle. Heavenly Father sent his son. No one else could take his place. He was the chosen one. Song, He sent his son. Children's Songbook, pages 34 to 35. A is for the angels who brought tidings of good news. To share those tidings with our friends is something we can choose. S is for the star that guided seekers long ago. That Christmas light still guides us now, no matter where we go. Narrator, we wish you Merry Christmas. It's a lovely thing to say. We're glad you came to celebrate and sing with us today. There's only one more song to share before we soon depart. A Christmas tune that touches each and every Christmas heart. Song, Silent Night, hymns number 204. End of the activity, Merry Christmas, by David Dixon, read by Brett Venable.
Bulletin Board, The 12 Compliments of Christmas. Kind words are as sweet as a plate of cookies, and they last a lot longer. This Christmas, pick a person and think of 12 things you like about him or her. Starting 12 days before Christmas,
or 12 days before school break, leave that person a secret message, saying one nice thing each day. You could slip an envelope into a locker or tape a note to a door. I know my father lives. I know my father lives and loves me too. The Spirit whispers this to me and tells me it is true, and tells me it is true. He sent me here to earth by faith to live his plan. The Spirit whispers this to me and tells me that I can, and tells me that I can. Children's Songbook, page 5. I love to see the temple. Many temples display nativity scenes during the Christmas season. Some visitor centers even have creche festivals where they show nativity scenes from all around the world. Following Jesus, be confident. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John chapter 14, verse 6. Some people who knew Jesus Christ did not believe he was the Son of God. But Jesus did not doubt what he knew was true. He said, "The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." John chapter 10, verse 25. See also verses 24 through 39. This month's challenges. Challenge 1. Write down 5 things you like about yourself. Challenge 2. Help someone at school. Challenge 3. Learn the words to the primary song, "I Know My Father Lives." Ask yourself, what can I do to be more like Jesus Christ? End of the section, Bulletin Board.
On the Trail, This Is the Place, by Annie Beer. Come with us to explore an important place in church history. Elise and Kyle H., ages 9 and 6, are strolling through the snowy streets of a replica pioneer village in Salt Lake City, Utah. It looks like they have gone back in time to the mid-1800s. That's when the pioneers were settling in the Salt Lake Valley. Join Elise and Kyle as they explore This Is the Place Heritage Park to find out what it was like to be a pioneer child. The town barber sent leftover hair from haircuts and shaves to toy makers to use as hair for dolls. A family of 12 lived in a small pioneer home. The children had to go outside and climb a ladder to get to the sleeping loft. After their chores, pioneer children played with their toys. Kyle's favorite was a bear you pull up on 2 ropes. It helped pioneer children learn how to milk cows. The first pioneers ended their journey west in 1847. When Brigham Young first saw the Salt Lake Valley, he said, "This is the right place." The monument, designed by Brigham Young's grandson, honors those brave pioneers. Pioneer children often went to school in a one-room building. Children of all ages met in the same room, even if they were learning different things. End of the article, This Is the Place, by Annie Beer. End of the section, On the Trail. A Helping Angel, by Mary Joanne Steck. If you want a friend, you must show that you care. Children's Songbook, page 262. Tryouts will be held soon for our annual school Christmas play, said Mrs. Humphreys to the class. She smiled at Molly. We'd love to have each one of you come and try out. Molly decided she'd audition for the part of Mary. Being Mary would be better than anything. Well, except maybe for finding a friend. That would be the best thing of all. After several months in this new big city school, Molly still didn't have a single friend. Whenever she tried smiling at the girls in her class, they would only giggle and whisper to each other. The leader of the girls in her class was Julia, a smart, pretty girl who always seemed to do everything right. One day,
Molly took a chance and walked up to her. "Hi, Julia. Could you please help me with my homework?" "Sorry," Julia said. "Don't have time." Then she ran off to play with her friends. Molly sat down at lunch, alone again. What could she possibly do to get the girls to like her? Then she remembered the Christmas play. If she got the part of Mary, maybe somebody would want to be her friend. Audition day arrived. Molly had practiced hard. When her turn came, she sang her audition song with almost no mistakes. The next day, when Mrs. Humphreys announced the part, Molly crossed her fingers. "The part of Mary will be played by Julia," Mrs. Humphreys said, "and Molly will play the part of the first angel." Molly's heart sank. Julia would get to play Mary? Julia, who was already so popular? It wasn't fair. Molly blinked away hot tears. Over the next few weeks, Molly worked hard at learning her part. She knew the angel was still important, even if it wasn't the lead role. On the night of the Christmas play, Molly felt like butterflies were fluttering in her stomach. She'd never been in a play before. What if she made a mistake or forgot her part? When the music began, Julia walked to the stage to sing her solo. The audience got quiet as the pianist played the opening line, but Julia didn't start singing. Molly was confused. Had Julia forgotten to start? She peeked over at Julia. She could tell that Julia was trying to sing, but nothing was coming out. The pianist started over. Molly held her breath as Julia opened her mouth. The only sound that came out was a tiny squeak. Julia's lips began to tremble. Molly had never imagined Julia might feel scared, too. But she was, and in front of all those people, too. "Start over again," whispered Mrs. Humphreys loudly from behind the scenery. The pianist started over a third time. Molly made a quick decision. She knew what it was like to feel all alone. Nobody should have to feel that way. She took a couple of shaky steps onto the stage and put her arm around Julia's waist. Molly started to sing. As soon as Julia realized she wasn't on her own, her face broke into a smile. This time her voice worked. Molly thought they sounded wonderful singing together. After the song ended, the audience clapped and clapped. When Julia went back on stage to take a bow, she grabbed Molly's hand and pulled her out for a bow too. Then she gave Molly a big hug right on stage. Molly grinned ear to ear. Yes, finding a friend was definitely better than any part in a play.
I was so excited to visit my relatives in Colorado, but I was so nervous to go to a different primary without my friends. Then I decided to say a prayer that I wouldn't be scared and that I would meet a friend. My mom dropped me off at primary, and I found a seat next to a boy my age. I am so thankful Heavenly Father answered my prayers. And next time there is a visitor in primary, I am going to be their friend too. Davis D., age 7, Utah, USA.
End of the article, A Helping Angel, by Mary Joanne Steck.
Special Witness, Why Is It So Important to Spend Time with Our Families? By President Boyd K. Packer, President of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. The members of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles are special witnesses of Jesus Christ. Family time is sacred time. The plan of happiness is a plan for families. The family is the basic organization in time and in eternity. We urge our members to show devotion to their families. I pray that the families of the church will be blessed, parents and children. From And a Little Child Shall Lead Them, Ensign May 2012, page 9. End of Special Witness, Why Is It So Important to Spend Time with Our Families? By President Boyd K. Packer. Music, God's Christmas Gift. Words by Donnell J. Clark. Music by Shira Lynn J. Benson. Copyright 2008 by Donnell J. Clark and Shira Lynn J. Benson. All rights reserved. This song may be copied for incidental, non-commercial church or home use. This notice must be included on each copy made. Long ago in Bethlehem, God sent His Holy Son, a precious gift to save the world, the pure, anointed one. Every year at Christmas time, the presents round the tree remind me to receive the Christ, the gift God gives to me. Jesus Christ gave his life. God planned it from the start. Each day I live, each gift I give, will show my thankful heart. Jesus is the Christmas gift God gives to you and me. Note, listen to this song at lds.org/friend. End of music, God's Christmas Gift, words by Donnell J. Clark, and music by Shira Lynn J. Benson.
Warming Up to the Lindsays by Marjorie A. Havens, based on a true story. I wanted Christmas to be just us. Every man should esteem his neighbor as himself. Mosiah chapter 27, verse 4. Oh, Mommy, do they have to come tomorrow? I asked in a pleading voice. Of course they do. I've asked them to come early so they can stay all day, not just for Christmas dinner. Why can't we ever be by ourselves? Then we could have leftovers the next day, I said. I didn't like guests much, and especially not the Lindsays. They had 5 children, and these kids were the most ragged bunch in the whole school. My friends all said they were different. Christmas is for sharing, Karen, my mother said. She was making pies for Christmas dinner, and the spicy smell of apples and cinnamon filled the house. We won't have enough food with the way the Lindsays eat. They're always starving, I grumbled, grabbing an apple while my mother put a pie in the oven. Now, Karen, you know we have enough for everyone, and Christmas is about giving. Now, why don't you go join your brother and Matthew to get the tree ready? Matthew? You mean Matthew Lindsay came over to get our Christmas tree, too? I was mad. My brother Jim and I always did that together. It was our tradition. Yes, Karen. Now hurry along, she said. And I want you to be nice to Matthew, she added. I put on my boots and my old coat and mittens and went out to find my brother. I didn't even want to add Matthew's name in my thoughts. It just wasn't fair. Jim would be talking to him the whole time. They were both 12, and they wouldn't even ask me about which tree to pick. I saw them over by the barn, getting the axe to chop down the tree. "Hurry up, Karen, or we'll have to go without you," Jim shouted to me. He would never have said that if Matthew weren't coming. He would have needed my help. I felt even madder. Matthew smiled at me as I walked up to them. I just looked the other way. The boys talked together all the way to the woods. I could have joined in, but that would have meant giving up my sulking, so I didn't. "Hey, Matt, how about that one?" Jim pointed to at a beautiful tree. It was in the middle of a swampy area, but it was so cold that the water had frozen and we were able to get to it. "What do you think, Karen?" Matthew asked me. I wish he hadn't asked. I didn't want to feel anything but angry right now. "It looks okay," I said grudgingly. It really was pretty, and I had to smile when I looked at it. Matthew smiled too, and I began to feel better. Maybe things weren't so bad after all. Jim and Matthew took turns chopping while I stood and watched. The tree started to fall in my direction. I jumped to the side to get away, and my feet broke through the ice. It wasn't that deep, but the cold water went over the tops of my boots. It was awful and made my teeth chatter. I didn't say anything because I didn't want Jim to wish he hadn't brought me. But Matthew saw, and he helped me dump the icy water out of my boots. By the time we were pulling the tree home over the snow, the sun had dropped low over the hills. It was so cold that my feet were stinging, and I could hardly keep from crying. When we were halfway home, I fell in the snow because my feet were numb and I couldn't keep up. I was so cold and miserable that tears began slipping down my cheeks. "What's the matter now, Karen? Come on, we need to hurry home before it gets too dark," Jim said as he pulled me to my feet. But I couldn't walk another step. "Here, I'll carry her, if you'll drag the tree and carry the axe," Matthew said. "The tree is heavier, and you're bigger than I am."
Matthew handed the axe to Jim and pulled me up on his back. I suddenly realized that Matthew's hands were bare. They must be as cold as my feet, but he was willing to carry me. I slipped off my mittens and handed them to Matthew. Then I tucked my hands in the long sleeves of my coat. He couldn't turn around to look at me since I was on his back. I was glad because I didn't want to see his kind face after I had been so mean to him. Maybe my friends were wrong about the Lindsays. Maybe I should tell them so. End of the story. Warming Up to the Lindsays by Marjorie A. Havens. Read by Kristen Hawkins. The Light of Christ at Christmas. Count down to Christmas by thinking about how the Savior brings light into the world. Carefully remove this page. After you've done each activity below, cut out the matching piece from page 27 and add it to the picture. Start your countdown on December 11th. December 11th. Read John chapter 8, verse 12. Find other scriptures where Jesus says he is the light of the world. December 12th. The light of a star guided shepherds to the baby Jesus. Watch Shepherds Learn of the Birth of Christ at BibleVideos.org. December 13th. Christ's light guides us like the star guided shepherds to the stable. Make star-shaped cookies to share. See Christmas Workshop, Friend, December 2009. December 14th. Turn off all the lights in your house. Then go from room to room singing Christmas songs and turning on lights as you go. Fill your home with light. December 15th. Listen closely in church. Do any of the songs or talks mention light? December 16th. Use a flashlight to find your way through a dark room. How does Christ's light help you find your way? December 17th. Jesus was the perfect example. Share his light today by being a good example. December 18th. Learn and sing the words to Silent Night. Hymns number 204. December 19th. Temples remind us of Christ's light. As a family, visit a temple at night to see it all lit up, or look at pictures of temples online at lds.org/temples. December 20th. Read Waiting for Jesus on pages 4 and 5. Make your own manger on page 6. December 21st. Together as a family, read scriptures about Christ. Start with only one candle lit. Each time you read a verse, light another candle and see how bright the scriptures can make your life. December 22nd. How many different colors of lights can you count on your Christmas tree? Look up that many scriptures about Christ. December 23rd. Christ is the center of Christmas. For family home evening, your family could perform the Merry Christmas program on pages 10 and 11. December 24th. Heavenly Father gave us light by sending His Son into the world. List or draw the ways you can bring light into your family. End of the article. The Light of Christ at Christmas. Kitchen Crafts, Christmas Workshop, Poinsettia Ornament. Be sure and get an adult's help with this craft. The poinsettia is a beautiful plant from Mexico and Central America with colored leaves and tiny yellow flowers. In Spanish, it's called Flor de Nochebuena, the flower of Christmas Eve. You will need a paper towel roll, red acrylic paint, a paintbrush, glue, a hole punch, yellow construction paper, ribbon. 1. flatten the paper towel roll and cut it into 18 pieces, each about 2/3 inch wide. These are enough leaves for 3 ornaments. 2. Paint the outside of each leaf red and let the leaves dry. 3. Glue together the points of 6 leaves to make a flower shape. Add each leaf one at a time and hold the ends together until the glue dries. 4. Use a hole punch to make small circles of yellow paper. Glue a cluster of circles together and glue it to the center of your leaves. 5. Punch a hole through one leaf. Tie a ribbon through it to make a loop. Hang your ornament on your doorknob or on a Christmas tree. Fresh salsa. Be sure to get an adult's help with this recipe. You might not think of salsa as a Christmas treat, but it's so good it might become your new Christmas tradition. It's even red and green. You will need 3 medium tomatoes, 1/4 cup chopped red onion, about half of a small onion, 1/4 cup chopped fresh cilantro, 1/4 cup chopped jalapeno, about half of a large mild jalapeno, 1/4 cup Italian dressing. 1. Wash the tomatoes and cut them up small. Put the chopped tomatoes in a strainer and press most of the juice out. Then dump the tomatoes into a bowl. 2. Peel the onion and chop it into small pieces. 3. Wash a handful of cilantro, trim off the long stems, and chop up the leafy ends. 4. Wash the jalapeno. Cut it in half and throw away all the seeds. Chop it into little pieces. Because the jalapeno is so hot, be sure to wash your hands after cutting it, and don't rub your eyes or wear disposable gloves. 5. Measure 1/4 cup each of onion, cilantro, and jalapeno, and add them all to the bowl of chopped tomatoes. 6. Add the Italian dressing and mix up your salsa. Now it's ready to eat.
Sidebar: Share your salsa. Buy extra tomatoes and use the rest of your ingredients to make a batch of salsa for a friend. You can give it to them with a bag of corn chips for a tasty Christmas gift.
End of Kitchen Crafts, read by Kristen Hawkins.
Show and Tell. My family and I had the amazing opportunity to visit Peru. Our tour guide organized a service project to help children in a local elementary school. I decided to provide sweaters for the children because they didn't have warm clothes for the winter. I started a sweater drive at my elementary school. We collected more than 400 sweaters. I know the children in the school will be warm this winter. I felt a lot of joy because I was able to serve them. Kale L., age 11, New Mexico, USA.
During recess, I was standing in the middle of a group of kids my age when one of the girls started swearing. Another boy soon joined in, and I felt very uncomfortable. I knew Heavenly Father would not want us to use these words. I asked them to stop swearing, but they continued to use bad language. I decided to walk away so they knew I wasn't going to participate. I was sad they didn't listen, but I knew I had stood up for what I believed in. I knew that Heavenly Father was happy too. Caleb B., age 12, Utah, USA.
One Sunday I noticed a little girl my age in sacrament meeting. She was new and she seemed scared to go to primary. I decided to ask her to come with me to go to primary and be my friend. After church, the little girl's aunt told my parents that her niece was so happy to go to primary with her new friend. I tried to be like Jesus by being a good friend and helping someone in need. Regan V., age 5, Colorado, USA.
Malia B., age 5, Arkansas, USA, likes to be a good example to her younger brother. She likes to sing primary songs and learn about the articles of faith. She enjoys making crafts, swimming, and riding her bike.
The children of the Cayenne Branch, French Guiana, loved presenting their primary sacrament meeting. They were happy to give their talks, and they sang very well. One of their favorite songs is, "I Am a Child of God."
Other contributors to Show and Tell: Taylor and Megan W., both age 10, Utah, USA. Aileen C., age 8, Guatemala. Lady M., age 5, Australia. Tyler B., age 9, Alaska, USA. Tima B., age 6, Ukraine. End of Show and Tell.
For Little Friends, Jesus is Born by Margot May. Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem. It was a long way. Mary was going to have a baby soon. All the inns were full. Mary and Joseph stayed in a stable where animals slept. While they were there, Jesus was born. Nearby, shepherds in the field were watching their sheep. An angel came and told them to go to Bethlehem to see the new baby. The shepherds found the stable where Mary and Joseph were. There in a manger was the baby Jesus, wrapped in swaddling clothes. He would be the Savior of the whole world. At Christmas, our family and friends sometimes give us gifts. But the greatest gift of all is the one Heavenly Father gave to us. He sent His own Son, Jesus Christ, to be born on earth. From Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. End of the article. For Little Friends, Jesus is Born by Margot May.
When Jesus Was a Child by Michelle Garrett. We all know the story of Christ's birth, but what happened after He was born in the stable in Bethlehem? Rachel and Thomas M., ages 12 and 10, visited the Jerusalem Motion Picture Set in Goshen, Utah, USA. The church built this set to film videos about the life of Jesus Christ. Come with Rachel and Thomas to see what life was like for Jesus when He was a child. When Jesus was about a month old, Joseph and Mary brought Him to the temple. This was like when babies today receive a special blessing from men who hold the priesthood. It's important to take babies to church so they can start to learn the gospel while they're small, Rachel said. Jesus grew up in a small town called Nazareth. Some people didn't think that He was the Messiah because He was from such an unimportant place. It doesn't matter where you are. You can still be kind and sacrifice for others, Thomas said. Joseph was a carpenter. As Jesus grew older, He probably helped Joseph. Thomas helps his mom with chores like folding clothes, setting the table, and taking out the garbage. I can do more by going the extra mile. Jesus probably did that, Thomas said. Jesus probably celebrated yearly Jewish festivals like Hanukkah, Purim, and the Passover. Rachel likes celebrating holidays with her family. Holidays are important because they give us time to spend together, she said. Jewish boys in Jesus' time started learning to read and write from the scriptures when they were 6 years old. When they turned 12, they were taken to Jerusalem to be tested. When Jesus went to the temple with His family, everyone was amazed at how well He knew the scriptures. I can learn more about the scriptures by studying them by myself and with my family, Rachel said. Did you know that Jesus had sisters and at least 4 brothers? See Matthew chapter 13, verses 55 through 56. I can follow His example by being kinder to my brothers, Rachel said. Jesus' childhood prepared Him to teach His Father's gospel here on earth. He lived a perfect life, so that He could sacrifice Himself for our sins. It's important that Jesus died for our sins and was resurrected. If He hadn't, the gospel wouldn't be complete, Thomas said. I know the gospel is true because I have prayed about it. I have a testimony that Jesus lived and died, and that Joseph Smith saw Jesus after He was resurrected. This Christmas, remember what Christ did for you and try to be like Him. He was once a little child like you. End of the article, When Jesus Was a Child, by Michelle Garrett.
Jesus Loves You, by Kelly Hunsaker, based on a true story. What will Grace see at the Temple Visitor Center? One morning, Grace's mom woke her up early. "I have a surprise for you," Mom said. "I want to show you something special." "Where are we going?" Grace asked Mom. "We are going to see the temple," Mom said. Grace and Mom drove for a long time. Grace sang, "I love to see the temple." She was happy. Mom stopped the car. Grace got out and held Mom's hand. They walked onto the temple grounds. Grace saw flowers and trees. Everything was green and bright. Grace showed Mom a pink flower. When Grace got close to the temple, she looked up, up, up. The temple was very tall. The sun was shining. Grace touched the white stone. She sat on a bench by a big tree. She was happy. They walked all around the temple. "I want to show you something else," Mom said. Grace held Mom's hand, and they walked into the visitor center. Grace felt good inside. It was nice there. The long ride had been worth it. Grace looked up and saw the biggest statue she had ever seen. She stood very still and looked for a very long time. She saw feet, robes, and hands. When she saw the statue's face, she smiled. She was happy. "Do you know who that is?" Mom asked. "It's Jesus," Grace whispered. Grace held her arms out as far as she could, just like the statue. "He wants to give me a hug." Mom hugged Grace. "You are right. Jesus loves you." End of the story. Jesus Loves You, by Kelly Hunsaker. Read by Kristen Hawkins.
The New Adventures of Matt and Mandy. In this installment, we see Mandy talking to her friend whose father had just lost his job. Mandy says,
"Did you like that Friend magazine I gave you?"
And her friend replies,
"Yeah, my dad liked it too, but he just lost his job, so we don't have money for things like magazines."
Next, we see Mandy in the living room talking to her dad, and Matt is sitting on the couch. Mandy says to Dad,
"Dad, I know we don't have a lot of money this year because we had to move, but can we get Audrey a Friend subscription for Christmas? You could take it out of whatever you were going to get me."
Thinking about her friend, Mandy continues,
"In fact, I really don't need much. Could we just give Audrey's family most of what you would have spent on me without letting them know who it was?"
Her dad responds,
"I guess so, if you're sure that's what you want."
Next, we see Matt in the living room sitting on the couch, pondering Mandy's idea.
"I was really hoping for that cool new scooter. She's Mandy's friend, not mine. In fact, she acts like I don't exist. But Mandy looked really happy when she told Dad what she wanted to do."
And then he says to Dad,
"Dad, I heard what Mandy was saying. Would you do the same thing with my Christmas presents? But don't tell Mandy. I mean, I don't want her to think I like her friends. You know what I mean."
Next, Dad excitedly runs into the kitchen and says to Mom,
"You're never going to guess what those two kids of ours just did."
Uh-oh. Do I want to hear this?
Oh, trust me, you do.
End of The New Adventures of Matt and Mandy.
Friend to Friend, Sledding and the Spirit, from an interview with Elder J. Devin Cornish of the 70, by Michelle Garrett. When I was 11 years old, my older brother and I each got a sled for Christmas. When the first snowfall finally came, one steep road in our town was covered with ice. It seemed like all the children in town gathered at the top of that hill with their sleds. My older brother and I had contests to see who could go the farthest. Since he was bigger, he always won. a friend suggested something I could do to beat my brother. He handed me a block of wax and told me to rub it on the runners of my sled. As I took the block of wax, I could feel the spirit telling me I shouldn't use it. I thought it might be cheating, and it was also dangerous. These thoughts gave me an uneasy feeling in my stomach and in my heart. But then I thought, it's all right just this once. I deserve to win sometimes. No one will know. So I put a thick coat of wax on the runners of my sled. As I started down the hill, my sled quickly picked up speed. Soon I lost control. I saw that I was headed toward a car parked on the side of the road, and nothing I could do would turn the sled. I rolled off onto the ice, hoping to avoid the crash, but it was no use. My sled hit the front wheel, and my left leg hit the back one. I spent the next 8 weeks in a cast from my mid-chest to the tips of my toes on my left side. I recovered well and have enjoyed a full and active life, but my left leg is just a little shorter than my right leg. This reminds me how important it is to follow the promptings of the Spirit. I learned from this experience that when I get the feeling that I shouldn't do something, I must follow that inspired feeling without delay. End of the article, Sledding and the Spirit, from an interview with Elder J. Devin Cornish of the 70 by Michelle Garrett. End of the section, Friend to Friend.
Bringing Primary Home. I know that Jesus Christ will come again. You can use this lesson and activity to learn more about this month's primary theme. Can you imagine having Jesus hold you in his arms and give you a blessing? That's what he did for the Nephite children in the Book of Mormon after he was resurrected. And it came to pass that he commanded that their little children should be brought. So they brought their little children and set them down upon the ground round about him, and Jesus stood in the midst. And he took their little children, one by one, and blessed them, and prayed unto the Father for them. 3 Nephi, chapter 17, verse 11 through 12, 21. We know that Jesus will come again and live on the earth with us. He will be our King and ruler. It will be a time of peace and happiness for those who are prepared to meet him. Jesus loves you just like he loved the Nephite children. You can prepare to see him when he comes again by being kind to others, by being obedient, and by saying your prayers, and by choosing the right. Then you will be ready when he comes again. Song in Scripture. When he comes again, Children's Songbook, pages 82-83. Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. Listen to this song at music.lds.org. Ideas for Family Talk. Talk with your family about what it would be like to be on the earth when Jesus is here again. You could read 2 Nephi chapter 21, verses 6 through 9. Then you could talk about how people will treat each other, how animals will act, and how safe the world will be. Give each family member a turn to tell what he or she looks forward to about the time when Jesus comes again. End of Bringing Primary Home. I know that Jesus Christ will come again. For older kids, ski decision. The slope looks scary. Should Ethan trust his teacher? By Logan McKell, based on a true story. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Ski down here to the right, Ethan. Remember to keep your ski tips together and the backs apart, and follow me. Ethan was nervous. He watched as his ski teacher put his ski tips together and snowplowed a short way down the hill. This was only his second day of skiing, and even though he loved the snow and the mountains, he was still a little scared of skiing. As he looked at the path his teacher had taken, he thought it looked too steep. "I think I'd rather go this way," Ethan called to his teacher, pointing off to the left. There was another path that looked much easier. It was flat and straight as far as he could see, but his teacher shook his head. "You don't want to go that way," he called to Ethan. "It gets a lot harder than it is right there. You just can't see it." He pointed again to the path on the right and said, "Go right where I went," he said. "Don't worry, you'll be fine." Ethan faced a tough decision. The path his teacher wanted him to take looked scary. The other path seemed like a better choice. Should he listen to his teacher or do what he wanted to do? He really wanted to take his own path, but Ethan decided to follow his teacher's advice. His palms were sweaty inside his mittens as he pushed his skis out into the triangle shape his teacher had taught him and started down the path on the right. It was easier than he thought. He skied quickly down to where his teacher was waiting. "Good job, Ethan," his teacher said as Ethan skied over to him. "I'm glad you trusted me." "Do you see that?" he said, pointing up the hill. Ethan looked at the very steep, rocky, scary-looking hill his teacher was pointing to. "Yes," he answered. "That's the path you wanted to go down," his teacher replied. Ethan gulped. His teacher was right. The path on the right was much better. "Are you glad you listened to me?" his teacher asked. "Definitely," Ethan replied. As they skied down the rest of the hill, Ethan trusted his teacher without worrying. He knew his teacher would tell him the right way to go. Heading home after his ski lesson, Ethan thought a lot about how scary it would have been if he hadn't trusted his teacher and hadn't taken the safer path. His mom was always quoting a scripture about trusting in the Lord instead of in our own understanding. Maybe that was because Heavenly Father's plan was the safest path, even if it did seem harder at first. Ethan could remember a few times when he had wanted to do something that seemed easier or more fun than keeping the Heavenly Father's commandments. He decided that from now on, he would trust Heavenly Father and follow his path. He felt a warm feeling inside because he knew he would be safe. Sidebar: trust your Heavenly Father. Trust him enough to follow his plan. President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, second counselor in the First Presidency. End of For Older Kids, Ski Decision by Logan McKell.
A True Story Written by You. Gloves for a Shepherd by Sarah Kay, age 12, Utah, USA. Mom whispered, "That little boy doesn't have any gloves." It was the annual live nativity. You could walk around and see people dressed up like the wise men, shepherds, and Mary with Joseph and the baby. We walked over to see the shepherds. The youngest was no more than 5, and he was standing by his father. He had his hands clamped tightly together. My mom came up to me and whispered, "That little boy doesn't have any gloves. Would you like to give him one of yours?" I looked down at my hands that were double-gloved. If I took one layer off, my hands would get cold. I swallowed, took off the best pair, and followed Mom back to the fire. "Here," my mom said to the boy's father, "some gloves to keep his hands warm." She slid the gloves onto the boy's hands. "Thank you," the boy's dad said. "We will get them back to you." "Oh, you can keep them," Mom said as she took my hand. We walked to a big barn where the woman playing the role of Mary stood. Mary said, "These feet will walk on water, these hands will heal a blind man and raise a child from the dead, and then these hands and feet will be nailed to a cross to pay for our transgressions." I looked at the baby representing Jesus in her arms and his tiny hands holding her finger. I looked at my own hands in a worn pair of gloves. I thought of the little boy's hands with my perfect pair of gloves. Then I smiled to myself. I was glad I had given him my gloves, because I didn't know what his hands would do someday. They might not do the same things that Jesus did, but his hands would do something good. The least I could do was help keep them warm. End of the story, Gloves for a Shepherd, by Sarah Kay.
My Brother the Missionary, by Kevin V., age 11, Mexico. I hope that I can share the gospel with those who want to know the truth. Children's Songbook, page 169. Our family, my parents, my brother, and me, prepared for a long time so that my brother could serve a mission. Whenever we would talk about him being a missionary, I would joke with him saying I wouldn't miss him and that I would be glad to be alone. The day finally came for him to send in his missionary papers. He had tried to do well in school, and we had all worked hard to save money for his mission. One day, the stake president called us and said the call had arrived. My brother opened the letter at home after dinner. He was called to serve in Mexico City East Mission. Not long after that, we dropped him off at the airport and said goodbye. On the way home, my mother could not stop her tears, but I did not cry. But only 2 hours later, when I was in the room I used to share with my brother, I suddenly realized that I would not see him again for a long time, that I was the one who could not stop my tears, and I let myself cry and cry. My parents hugged and comforted me, and we all felt great joy and great sadness at the same time. Since that day, I prayed to Heavenly Father and asked him to take care of my brother as he serves. My brother taught me that I must also prepare for a mission. I must be worthy to receive the priesthood, attend seminary, and achieve the goals in fulfilling my duty to God. He taught me to work and save money, read the scriptures, and obey my leaders. I want to serve a mission too, so that other people can have the blessings of the gospel and know that it is true. End of the story, My Brother the Missionary.
Guide to the Friend. Possible ideas for family home evening. 1. Read Waiting for Jesus and set out your family's nativity set. Or if you don't have one, make your own manger with the instructions on page 6. 2. Perform the Christmas program on pages 10 through 11 with your family. 3. Use the Bringing Primary Home lesson and activity to learn more about this month's primary theme. 4. Put together the Light of Christ Advent calendar. You can use it as a family throughout the month to make your Christmas brighter. 5. Read Warming Up to the Lindsays and talk about how you can serve others this Christmas. Then make the salsa on page 26 and share it with some friends. Note, the friend can be found on the internet at lds.org/friend. To subscribe online, go to store.lds.org. To send us a letter, drawing, poem, or photograph, please fill out a form and include it with your submission. Please also include a school photo or high-quality snapshot. Submissions will not be returned and may be edited for length and clarity. Children whose work is submitted should be at least 3 years old. Please send your submission to Friend Magazine, 50 East North Temple Street, room 2432, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84150-0024, or email friend@ldschurch.org. The following information and permission must be included. First and last name, age, state, province, country. I agree to the terms of the Friend Submission Agreement, lds.org/friend/parental consent, and grant permission for the Friend to publish my child's submission and photo in print or online. Signature of parent or legal guardian. Email of parent or legal guardian. Topical index to this issue of the Friend. Christmas. From the First Presidency, Christmas is about Christ, by President Dieter F. Uchtdorf. Waiting for Jesus. Things to make and do, make your own manger. The Christmas surprise. Things to make and do, Merry Christmas. A helping angel. Music, God's Christmas gift. Warming up to the holidays. Things to make and do, the light of Christ at Christmas. Things to make and do, kitchen crafts. The new adventures of Matt and Mandy. And for older kids, gloves for a shepherd. Church history, on the trail, this is the place. Family. Special witness, President Boyd K. Packer. Holy Ghost, Friend of Friend, Sledding and the Spirit by Elder J. Devon Cornish. Jesus Christ, from the First Presidency, Christmas is about Christ. Waiting for Jesus. Bright Idea Poster. Things to Make and Do, Merry Christmas. Music, God's Christmas Gift. The Light of Christ at Christmas. For Little Friends, Jesus is Born. When Jesus Was a Child. Jesus Loves You. Bringing Primary Home, I Know That Jesus Christ Will Come Again. Kindness, Bulletin Board. A Helping Angel. Warming Up to the Lindsays. The New Adventures of Matt and Mandy. And for older kids, Gloves for a Shepherd. Love. Jesus Loves You. Missionary Work. For older kids, My Brother, the Missionary. For older kids, Ski Decision. Service. The Christmas Surprise. Things to Make and Do, The Light of Christ at Christmas. The New Adventures of Matt and Mandy. Trust, for older kids, Ski Decision. End of The Guide to the Friend.
Prophet Portrait. Spencer W. Kimball. Spencer W. Kimball loved the descendants of the Lamanites. The basket and the background pattern represent his love for their culture. When he served as church president, the church printed new editions of the scriptures. He also received the revelation that all worthy men could hold the priesthood. He dedicated 21 temples, including the Jordan River, Utah Temple. End of Prophet Portrait, Spencer W. Kimball.